This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole! It's in the hole!
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No, let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's.
Welcome back, everybody, to the fourth week of the Who's Your Caddy podcast. We're excited for our first ever full interview with local golfer Jack Cummings. We're in the Caddy Shack this afternoon, as always, with Mac Farley, Matty Ice, and now Jack Cummings. We got a big week to recap. Phil Mickelson in the winner's circle once again at Pebble Beach. He seems to be hitting the weights, gaining a little bit of distance. Lots to talk about on the Pro-Am side as well. We'll recap give a full review of the Resorters tournament in Alexandria, Minnesota. It's a historic tournament in the Midwest. We'll give a little course review there. And then we have the Genesis Open this week at Riviera. Big field. Really looking forward to that. Matty Ice, what do you think?
It's going to be a good one. I'll give a couple takes on who I think is going to win. There's a featured group, Tiger, Rory, JT. This was actually the tournament last year where Rory came out and said that Tiger himself loses a shot and a half round to the field just because of how many people are watching him. So that's kind of nuts, and so that'll be interesting to follow along. I think Rory gets a little wishy-washy when he is playing with Tiger too. So I'm pumped to have Jack Cummings on the pod. We go back a little bit, actually at the Resorters Golf Tournament, which we will talk about. We had a legendary match back in the day when we were probably 14 years old. So,
Without further ado, here's Jack Cummings. For those of you that don't know, one of the only players in NCAA history to get hit with a golf ball live during a round four times in the year. Jack, good to have you on the pod.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Mac, Matty Ice. Absolutely amped to be on the pod. I've been listening to it day in, day out since the start. Pretty pumped. I got a busy day at work Thursday, Friday, but I'll be definitely tuning into that PGA Tour live, being unproductive as hell during work, watching that featured group.
Free ad out here.
Yeah, free ad.
Yeah, free ad. But we'll welcome PGA
it's
Tour.
Worth it.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Thanks. We're super pumped to have you, and lucky to have you, too.
Here we go.
This past weekend, we were at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Phil Mickelson ended up taking the win. It was his 44th career win on tour. Very big win for Phil. I don't want to say I saw it coming, but at the same time, it wasn't really surprising because he did play pretty well back in the desert a couple weeks ago. He actually changed drivers previous to the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Seriously. Where'd he go with?
He went from the old – he played the old one at the Desert Classic, the old Callaway. Epic, and he went to whatever the new Callaway one is. I don't even know if it's out in stores yet, so I don't know too much about that. I just do know that he changed back at Pebble Beach to the old one, so not very good publicity there for Callaway. So he was bombing it all week. He was going driver wedge to most holes. You really won't see that when the U.S. Open comes there in June. But big win for Phil. Shot 7-under on Sunday. I think it was a low round of the day. Crazy playing by him, making putts on bumpy greens at Pebble, not the greatest greens in the world. They got a little bit Poana in them, so they were pretty rocky there. Mac, what'd you think of Phil's performance?
Yeah, Matt, it was really impressive. I don't know if any of you guys saw his 3-wood at Spyglass from the trees.
Yeah,
I think he was 250 plus. He stuck it to about 8 feet. That's
missed
what you know.
Missed the putt, of course. But just so was the ice in his veins.
But one of the things I noticed after the Waste Management is on Instagram, he posted all the new equipment that he's using. Let me just read off a couple of the things he's got going. This is not in the bag. This is outside of the bag.
Outside.
He's got his light bed, a Beamer bed, a Hypervolt, a Normatec, and Normatec leg sleeves to help him recover. I don't know if it's his lighter schedule or what, but this guy's spending some dough outside the course.
Yeah, he might be spending the dough, or someone else might be spending the dough for him. I think he's probably getting some of this equipment for free. I don't know. I like Phil, like I've said before. Glad he won this past week. But I will say, for futures, do not bet on Phil for the U.S. Open yet. Wait till he kind of shows that he's playing well before.
Couple other notables, Max Homa, good friend of the pod, top 10s it, gets into Genesis Open. We're a big fan on Twitter of his. David Duval, local legend up in the booth, plus 5, missed the cut. Ho-Sung Choi also missed the cut. Matt, you did take the under on the over-under T50. How do you feel about that?
Missed on that one a bit. I think he was pretty nervous. Good attempt by him, though. I'm glad he did come out and play. He was for sure he was the Tiger Woods of the week for the first three rounds. But, yeah, I'm glad he came out and played. I hope he gets another opportunity to try it all again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the media made too big of a deal out of this, put a little undue pressure. We'll see at the next sponsor invite how he can bounce back. Another notable plus 3 on Sunday, Jordan Spieth. I know Jack Cummings had a slip on him this weekend.
Yeah, fellas, I went big on Jordan. I went big on him. I took him, I think his odds coming into the week were something flirting around plus 1,200-ish. Went big on him, thought he'd do it. I knew.
He looked good on Thursday.
Yeah, and on paper, it looked fantastic. Yeah. He loves Pebble. He needs a redemption.
A gritty player.
And he's gritty. And it looked promising, looked very promising. Coming in the weekend there, and man, what'd he shoot coming in? 74, 75-ish?
Yeah. Wasn't pretty.
Absolutely laid an egg. Got destroyed. Kill your bookie. But luckily, made some money back on my matchups for Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, I had Philly Cheese over Paul Casey, which was phenomenal. And what really got me is, and I'm going to lay this out here right now, fellas, I'm not a Phil Mickelson fan, haven't been historically in my career. Not a Phil fan, but I like easy money. I saw it coming, bada bing, bada boom, it hit. That was fantastic. And what Phil did on Sunday and / Monday, remind me again what he shot. It was
65.
That's nothing short of incredible. But yeah, overall good weekend. Bet the farm on Spieth, which backfired. But yeah, it's a fun pro-am.
It was. I always enjoy this event. Some people rip on it because they show too much amateur action. I like the amateurs. I think it's kind of fun. Depends who's playing, I guess, on the leaderboard. I'm not a Paul Casey guy, so when they were showing more amateurs than Paul Casey, I was all cool with that.
You know, Matt, I couldn't agree less with you on that take. I think the amateurs should hang it up on Saturday. I know Tony Romo had one of the shots of the week, but he hung it up, and I loved it. He got out of there. He held his head high. I think Sunday, having a round be 5.5 hours at Pebble, what a disgrace to the track.
I mean, I do agree with that a little bit. I do enjoy watching those AMs. Like, you get some celebrities. I'm a big Larry the Cable guy. He played well this week. Probably shot 90, but for his handicap, it was pretty good. And you get a couple other sports stars. Matt Ryan had maybe the shot of the week as well, or one of the shots of the week. He had almost holed out from probably 230. On a par 5, so good shot by him. He's a good player as well. So only guy I wish they wouldn't show at all or he wouldn't even dress up for the tournament would be Aaron Rodgers. But
I was going to say the same thing. I got a question for you, for your experts here. Do you think these pros enjoy playing with these AMs? Do you think they vibe off of it? I mean, we saw Phil's what I will call a bug out on Sunday evening when he couldn't finish the round.
Yeah.
Well, how long was that? Probably 5.5, pushing 6 hours. Probably could have won the golf tournament come Sunday night, being in his bed by Sunday, going into Monday. So, what's your guys' take?
This week too. Yeah. I totally agree with you, Jack. And you know, like I said, the three tracks on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's nice to have them spread out. They can play a little quicker. Come Sunday, get them off the course. I mean, if I want to watch a 13 handicap, I'll go to my local Muni and pay $0. They might even pay me to watch them.
I will say, I do think it maybe was a little unfair. Like, Phil's partner, their pro-am team actually missed the cut because the pro-am partner played terrible. So Phil didn't actually have an amateur partner on Sunday, whereas Paul Casey did. So maybe a little disadvantage for Paul Casey there. I'm not a big Paul Casey guy, so I'm glad was that disadvantage.
That being said, Paul Casey did win the Pro-Am with his AM.
He did, and I'm sure he wasn't too pumped about it.
Sure, like, he was fired up.
But the AM was just fired up. That's a big win for FedEx. He's a FedEx East Coast Vice President, I think that's what his – or Executive Vice President, so something like that.
Okay.
Big win by him.
Absolutely. Another good pick. We had the DJ Jason Day matchup. Hammer Jason Day. I knew DJ was coming off that win over in Saudi Arabia. I don't know what him and Paulina were doing on Monday and Tuesday, but clearly was not ready to play.
Well, I got one thing on that. I mean, DJ had to witness, and again, hate to reiterate it, but what I will also call, and I know you guys discussed this last week, so we won't get into the weeds, but Sergio's collapse. DJ was with him that day. That is confirmed.
What a bug out.
That is a bug out. And he had to witness that. I mean, that's got to throw out the psyche a little bit going into the week next.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you. I actually agree with you 100% there. DJ probably did not want to be in that limelight right there. And, yeah, it had to have been in his head all week. Because talking about bunkers, with how much rain that they had, like, the bunkers were in terrible shape.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they looked like, I mean, you could see the water streaks in the middle going to form a little. I mean, they did get a lot of rain, yeah. Granted, but it looked pretty chippy out there.
It was very chippy, which I actually did like, to be honest. Not your, you know, tour pristine conditions.
These guys have
got a battle gritty. Elements, gritty. Yeah, so that's perfect for Phil. That would have, I thought, been perfect for Cummings' pick of Spieth, but. Yeah, no, maybe that's why Ted Potter won last year and didn't even come close this year. So sorry about that pick in the Caddy Shack last week, but with those odds, I had to take him.
Absolutely, and I tell you what, though, I like that aggressive pick out of you, Jack, with Jordan Spieth coming in this week, showing no form, none. But leading up to the podcast, we've had a lot of viewer requests to get you on the pod. I'm glad we could work with your management team to coordinate this time. You're a pretty vocal guy on Twitter.
Yes,
you have a lot of takes. Yep. Can you tell me where that stems from? You know, who are you rooting for out there?
Well, I'm a vibrant person. I like vibrant personalities. Being said, there's a few exceptions. Not a Bubba guy. You know, indeed, though. I
was going to ask you.
I'm not a Bubba guy, but you know, I like the go getters. I also love good action. So if you got bad action, I'm out on you. Tony Finau, whack swing. I've been out for a while.
How about Matt Kuchar?
Matt Kuchar, no one loves to see a guy pumping it out 260, 270 down the fairway. No chance. Tiger Woods, obviously in there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a degenerate gambler. Anyone that doesn't know me, I'm actually not playing in the NCAA anymore, so I can vocally come out and say that I gambled almost every week while I was in college. So, Coach Alpers, I am sorry. But, you know, I'm known for my takes. I give them. They're not always right, but I'm there and I'm vibrant. And thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Hold on, one more thing. Are you a Brooks guy?
Brooks Koepka, I am. And I'll tell you why. It's not his swing. It's not his girlfriend. It's not his badass attitude. It's because, and I want to say it was the PGA this year, they had a little snippet of him throwing a silent little snooze bomber in his top right lip, and I got all over it.
I love that. Actually, he is kind of vocal now. Did you hear what he said about Sergio this past week after that?
Yeah, he was calling him out.
He was calling him out.
Seriously?
Yeah, he was basically calling him a baby and just grow up. So
I suppose three majors goes to the head and you can do whatever you want.
Well, people were calling for him to be a little more vocal, and so I think that probably did get to his head a little bit.
So,
and I love that vocal side of Brooks. I've been waiting for it for a couple years now.
We do need that. It's good to see him coming into that.
Maybe we'll get that out of DJ too.
So I don't know if we got a clarification here, Jack. Let me tell you this. Let's say the top 50 players in the world come Masters Sunday are down the stretch. They're all tied. Who are you rooting for? Would you throw Tiger 1? Who are your top 3?
Okay, well, obviously, Mac, you know me pretty well. I've known him for years. Known Matty Ice for far too long as well. Being my friend, you know Tiger Woods is a very big fan favorite, especially among men college golfers. But, yeah, I'm one of them. I love Tiger. He'll be my one. Number two, I'm going to take Jordan Spieth. Number three, I'm going to take Adam Scott. Now, I know that's going to piss you off. This has got a little bit dicey up in here, but I like Adam Scott. I like his action, and I shed a tear back in, what was that, 2012, I want to say, when 21. He took home?
Oh, I'm sure Masters. You love that long putter. Oh, that looks great.
You know, he got it done. He's got a green jacket. He's top 50 best-looking men in the world.
Wow.
Fantastic swing all over it.
So why doesn't he have more wins with that swing? Are you kidding?
Well, I think mentally he's a wreck, Mac. Okay. I do.
I'm glad you said it.
He's got great action. Anyone that uses that type of putter back in the day.
What's sexier, him or his swing?
His swing.
Okay.
His swing.
And he's top 50.
And I'm actually only, I can give you a little snippet of why I know he's a good-looking individual. I think it was the, correct me if I'm wrong, 2009 when Hazeltine had their major championship. The PGA went out with the family. Fantastic time. One of my sisters, Colleen Cummings, shout out. Adam Scott actually went onto the ropes while during a practice round and gave Colleen, my sister, a scorecard. And it said, "I love your dress, Adam Scott," with a signature.
Oh, yeah. So now that's the real truth comes out.
And then, you know, I like,
respect that.
Yeah, and I respected it. That's bold. I slide into the DMs all the time. I was all over it.
He just went from a 1 to 2 on my scale, and that's a scale of 100. So, some good takes from Cummings there. Anything else from this past weekend?
I think that's about it.
I'm waiting. Paul Casey not playing well again on a Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, no money was being placed on him, knowing his track record with the 72 or 54 hole lead.
Yeah, no, I think it was a decent tournament. But
hold on, before we cap this segment, what were your thoughts on the coverage?
Coverage was very iffy, I think.
I mean, we're all big golf guys, and we were falling asleep.
Yeah. No, we were. Actually, I'll be honest, we probably shouldn't do this, but on Sunday it was we gave up a couple holes of coverage just to go to the casino and play some blackjack. And we did that just because the coverage was so bad. And you have Phil shooting 600 par on the first 15 holes. Like, how do you leave that? And CBS once again screwed it up. I'm not a Faldo guy. But I don't mind Nance, but CBS just really fucked it up.
I mean, I appreciate all the ocean shots and it, you know, being up in northern United States here, it's tough to see that.
But even the ocean shots weren't great. It looked like Lake Superior the way
they were doing.
Yeah. So other than that, one more thing. I will say one more thing. Phil Mickelson complaining on Sunday night about them not finishing, and they said they had 6 more minutes of light. And he said he could have played 2 holes in that amount of time.
Love that.
Love that out of Phil. Like, that's his competitive gene. I know you hate Phil Jack, but
I think hate's a strong word, but I am going to go out and say I don't like Phil. It was a little weak, I thought, on my behalf. Show some sportsmanship. The official has his call. Respect his profession. Move on.
He was chopping some gum out there.
He was chopping some gum. I don't know what that was all about.
More details to come.
More details to come, probably in the near future.
Yeah.
But, yeah, all in all, we'll probably give it a 6 out of 10 on the week.
Pretty forgettable week, but good for Phil.
Next up, we want to talk a little bit about the Resorters Golf Tournament. That's in Alexandria, Minnesota. It's one of 3 tournaments up in the northern part of the state. Do they call them like the trifecta or anything? I don't think they call them anything, but it's what is it? The Birchmont, the Resorters, and then the Pine to Palm, and there's
not three, in that order.
Not in that order. And it's 3 tournaments that are all match play, week long match play. You start by qualifying. A little different format for each one, but yeah, you qualify. The Resorters now is 36 holes, and then you play in the round of 32 if you make it there. Some pretty legendary, you know, golfers that have played in it. Tom Lehman is one of them. He's from the area, so he grew up playing there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple others are Tim Herron, I believe, has played in it. Yep. Donald Constable, who is still playing pro golf on the web. I believe he's on the web this year.
Yeah, he played in 3 U.S. Opens as well.
Yeah, so he's an accomplished golfer. Big money's this is the best part about the tournament. Big money being placed. There's a Calcutta.
Huge caddy shack there. This tournament's been around for about 100 years now, right? And one of the biggest days of the week is right after the qualifying. Everyone gets together with, you know, there's tiki torches. There's a huge Calcutta with a guy auctioning off players. People are coming from the south to bet on, you know, whoever that tournament favorite is. A lot of top-notch college players are playing it. Like we said, it is an amateur event. Some of the top players in the country are playing. And before we get into the course, This is a birdie fest out there. I mean, you have 18 holes, probably 4 or 5 drivable par fours, but a good mix of tough par threes.
Yeah, no, it's a sweet golf course. I mean, for Mac, it's a chip and putt. For me and Jack, it's not so much chip and putt.
Not so much. I've been going up there for about 13 years. I actually had to take the last year off for work reasons, but it's enriched in my family blood. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm going to drop this right now, but my grandma is actually the longest living member in Alexandria Golf Club history.
Wow.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Cool story.
Yep. Been doing it forever. And I'm going to go out also on a limb right now, and I'm just going to give you guys another hot take. Best greens in the state, Alexandria Golf Club, without a doubt in my mind. What do you think they're running on the week?
I mean, they're probably running, I mean, if it's a normal summer, probably on the 12 to 13.
12 to 13.
Yeah, and I mean, 11, yeah, but they're back to front greens. Some of the greens are almost like if you're above the hole, hole four is one of them. If you're above the hole on hole four, you're not keeping that thing
good
on
luck.
The green. Yeah, you're not keeping it on the green, which is awesome because people get pissed. I'm like, dude, how do you not know that? You've played how many rounds here? You got a stable of the hole. I mean, you won't give a guy a two-footer on that green if he's above the hole.
But I tell you what, Matt, one of the coolest things about the event, you know, on top of the course, on top of the rich tradition, is the townsfolk and the fans that come out to watch, because it's one of the only tournaments that you'll see all the spectators have carts and they'll be parked from edge of the fairway around the greens, 2-3 deep. And, you know, being a Who's Your Caddy podcast, all the guys have loopers. You'll see, if you drive into the parking lot, you'll see guys on the side of the road with caddy for free signs because they're ready to loop it, you know. Some of them are indulging a little bit more than others, which keeps things interesting. But
that's probably the best part of the week as well, or another aspect of the week. It's an absolute – I mean, to put it in perspective, another hot spot in Minnesota summers is a country concert called Wee Fest. It runs on the same exact week as Resorters. And I've never personally been to Wee Fest.
Neither
I don't know about you gentlemen.
And
but
I'm a huge country guy.
That's only because I like to indulge, and I know Resorters Week I'm going to be able to kick back, have fun, play some golf, more importantly.
Have more than a few cocktails.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah. And
probably slightly overserved.
And that's what happens. You guys were mentioning the Calcutta. I mean, everyone's overserved. People are going for way too much money. I think Mac Farley went for, what, $1,200 one year, which is above and beyond of what he should have. But,
a
good time.
Donald
yeah.
Constable, we were talking about him for a bit. The one year he made it. He went for $4,000. Do you remember that? And I can't remember who beat him, but because I know he got beat. And it was shocking that he got beat. But in order to make his money back for the person who bet on him, I believe he had to win his semifinal match, which is, you know,
that's asking a lot.
That's asking a lot. That's a lot of pressure on an amateur to do that. So, no, very fun week. Speaking of caddy, and Mac was talking about loopers. I was fortunate enough to caddy in the championship match one year for a good friend of the pod, Justin Doden. He's now playing on the PGA Tour Canada. But he ended up losing to Oklahoma State grad Nick Heinen, who's now playing on the web. So
great player. Multiple-time winner. You know, on top of all this, a lot of these matches are coming down to hole 18. There just happens to be a Zorba right down the road. Once those matches finish up, you can find that crew walking that way. A lot of MN smoke shows showing up down there. Fun event all around. Always great weather. One of the stories I do want to tell was also a good friend of the pod, Casey Bangsness, tournament favorite maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, this is fantastic.
He was playing another friend of the pod,
yeah.
Brady Meyer.
Another great friend of the pod. Hopefully we get him on soon. We're working with their management teams. Obviously as a tournament favorite, they had a whole posse that threw in quite a bit of money. I think it was up in the $6,000 range that year for Casey. And I believe it was the second match of the round of 16.
It was Friday night, so that would
be... Oh, it would have been the Elite 8.
Elite 8, yep.
Yep. So Casey is on hole 13, misses a putt, hits his shoe with the putt. Pretty controversial play. Not sure if it was on purpose, not sure if it was on accident, but he broke his putter. The gambling crew that was with them, obviously not thrilled about him breaking his putter. Missed a few putts coming in. Grady and Casey were tied. Putting with the wedge from hole 14 on. Grady and Casey came down 18th hole. They're all tied up. Casey has about a 3.5-4 footer to win. He's putting with his wedge.
Misses it.
They go to extra holes. At this point, everyone in the tournament's heard about it. Everyone's on hole one.
Hole one's a drivable par four. Casey knocks it up tight. Has about another four-footer for birdie to win.
Misses it.
The crew that bet on him, they're freaking out. I mean, you know, fire your bookie type of moment.
You can't make that up.
Your bookie. But that being said, on hole two, Casey sticks it to 2 feet. He's not missing that with the wedge. He ends up winning it. It was a great match. Both Grady and Casey played fantastic that week.
And on the second playoff hole, too, Grady got screwed by a divot in the middle of the fairway. It was a sand-filled divot. And on these greens, like, you can't hold them if you're in the rough or like in a divot like that. So Grady got pretty unfortunate with that break. But that's just, you know, that kind of match happens probably every year at least.
Absolutely. Over the 100 years that this has been played, we've heard stories of guys holing out with a hole-in-one on 17 to win. They're giving their partners a hole-in-one because their match is one up and it'd be over. A lot of rich tradition with Tim Herron, Tom Lehman, and always a fun event.
Yeah, for sure. Us three will all be there this year. Hopefully.
Throw it on the bucket list. Yep.
If you can. There's people, like we were saying, Oklahoma State guy won a national championship last year. He was there. Now he's pro, so he can't play in it. But yeah, great event. I love going there.
There is a mid to high handicap division as well that's just as fiercely competitive.
Yeah, there's a couple pro hockey guys that are playing in it. They shoot in the 90s, but they're loving it too.
90s on a good day. They're mostly mid to 105, 110 kind of range, but hucking down beverages. Everyone's having a good time, and I'll be indulging in that 90 to 110 range this year. Yep. Most likely.
I'll take the under on that one.
All right, this week we go to the Genesis Open in L.A. It used to be called the L.A. Open. Now it's called the Genesis Open. Been Northern Trust for a couple years. You might have heard that too. This is where Tiger Woods made his PGA Tour debut at the age of 16.
Now the tournament host.
He claims he loves the course. Like we said earlier on the pod, he's never won here, which is pretty remarkable because you got to curve the ball. Tiger likes to curve it. And so we'll be interesting to see how he does this week. A couple other big names in the field, DJ, JT, Rory, like we talked about earlier, that pairing on Thursday and Friday of Tiger, Rory, and JT. Another pairing, too, that we thought was pretty interesting was DJ, Bubba, and Cameron Champ.
Third.
The Bombers on a course where you want to shape it. It'll be interesting to see how they do there.
Jack, I know you're a big Cameron Champ guy.
I'm a massive Cameron Champ guy, but haven't seen a ton out of him in 2019. I don't know about you guys.
What are your thoughts on his action?
I love his swing. I mean, it's fantastic.
You gotta love his swing. If Brandel loves your swing, Brandel Chambly, Golf Channel guy, you can't disagree with Brandel.
Yeah, and you know, it's a pretty action. I love watching the ball flight. I don't know if you guys saw that video of that little stinger driver he hit. It's notorious.
Nuts.
He's unbelievable, but I just haven't seen much out of him. I'd like to see a little spark out of him one of these weekends. Maybe he's nervous. I don't know, but looking forward to it.
Should be a fun week in L.A. Before we head over to the Caddyshack, I do want to give our guy, good friend of the pod, Matt Wolf, shout out for winning four times straight on the collegiate circuit. And with that, we'll turn it over to our caddies.
Big time bets this week. I'm going to stick my money on three main players. I'm going to stick, and you guys are going to hate this. I don't know about you, Jack. I don't know your take. First bet, I'm going to put a couple units on Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeesh!
You're kidding.
I hate him, but he's going to win this week. It's plus 1,400, so 14-1 odds. A couple units will win some pretty good dough. It'll get you betting probably until June. So I like DeChambeau at plus 1,400. Another guy who Jack talked about who he doesn't like. I like this guy a lot. I think what he did last year at the Masters was pretty remarkable. But Tony Finau, plus 2,800. I think he's a really good guy. Likes to also shape it, short swing. A lot of weird angles and lies here. So I think he'll play well here. And then my last one, I talked about earlier in the podcast, a lefty who I thought was going to win. And it's not two of them that you're thinking about. It's not Phil Mickelson. It's not Bubba. It's not Mike Weir. It's Brian Harman. He's +10,000, so 100-1 odds. This course benefits lefties. I think this is a course, other than Augusta, where the most lefties have won on tour. So I think that as a fellow lefty, I'm a lefty. He has a, not saying he's going to win this week because he's +10,000, but I think he has a decent chance considering the odds that he has. How about you guys? Who do you have?
Well, just to kind of go off of that, I agree with the lefty. I mean, I do know it favors lefty. However, I got all three guys righty. I'm a righty myself. I like it. Shout out to Justin Doerr. I know you're listening to the pod. Here you go. Have your fame, whatever you want to do. Tony Finau is going to play well this week. Cash it in. It's a money bet.
He was second last week, right?
Last year. I think Genesis. He tied for second, maybe even a solo second.
Yeah.
He's trending in the right direction. It's just a matter of time until this guy pulls out a W. I love Tony Finau this week. I'll be cashing it in myself. I do not bet with emotion. I bet with the only vision of winning money, and I know Tony Finau is a fantastic
pick.
It is. So take your Tony Finau, run to the bank, go cash it. Your bookie's going to hate you, and you're going to love it. Number two, I got my buddy Adam Scott. Adam Scott played well last year. I think it was a top 10-ish finish, maybe even top five. He's got a great swing. He's been trending all right. He's finally getting over that marriage, you know, I got a wife thing, and I got to focus on her. He's focused on golf right now. He's going to play great. Cash in on Adam Scott. Take any matchup if you can get him. That'll work out well. And then number three, and this is just, I got to take him. DJ had a tough week last week. I like him this week. He's going to bounce back. He bounces back. That's what he always does. Played like absolute shit last week. He's going to come around this week. Those
LA,
are my three.
L.A., DJ. Paulina's going to be in a good mood.
Yeah, she's going to be in a great move. She'll be hitting the clubs that night. He'll love it. I got DJ.
Wayne's got a big presence there.
He's got a massive presence.
So, it's a home game for DJ.
Yep.
Actually.
So
9-1 odds. I like that.
And I got that in that order. To be honest with you, I got Fino at one, Adam Scott at two, DJ at three. Cash it in. You're welcome. You don't have to give me a commission because I'll be making it on myself.
See you later.
There you go,
Mac. How about you,
Jack? I'm gonna rally off your last take, and I've been a big fan, obviously, on the pod of Xander Schauffele. The 25-year-old phenom, former California State amateur champion. Biggest thing that suits him this week is he knows those streets and where to go on Friday, Saturday night. He'll be looking at the local nightclubs. Another guy, Hideki, 28-1. What a steal.
That is a steal.
That's
an
absolute steal.
You're kidding.
We'll be posting on our social media this week, but one of the highlights of his career actually came at Riviera. I don't know if you recall, but he hit a shot on a par three, one-hand finish, looked down, looked at his caddy, hated the golf shot, one hops, hits the stick to 2 feet, makes birdie.
Shout out Joey Smith.
If you're dialed in like that at a course like this, I mean, how can you not pick him at 28-1? Next, I have Patrick Cantlay, also at 28-1, Long Beach native, UCLA phenom. This guy loves LA. He'll play well this week. And finally, my value pick, Oosthuizen at 50-1. This is a ball striker's track. I mean, I don't know how he can go wrong with that swing. Similar to Adam Scott, he's playing well. He's already won this year. He's shown some great form.
Louis has.
Yep. Kind of uneven lies here. So Louis plays well at Augusta. Uneven lies there. Schauffele, uneven lies at Kapalua.
And he's just a stud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like those picks too. I might throw a little money on a couple of your guys' picks. Just to spread against the board. A couple matchups that we see this week. Hot slips coming in. Tiger versus Rory. Mac and Jack, who you got?
You know, honestly, these are my top two favorite players on the planet. And
so it's my favorite and maybe not least favorite, but yeah.
But I don't like either this week to play well. Last year you had Rory bitching about, you know, the crowds and the LA feel. Tiger has a lot of commitments this week, being tournament host. I don't really think he cares about this event, which he shouldn't. I think both play poorly. One of them misses the cut. I'm taking Rory this week.
I like that pick too. Like I was saying, I'm not a Rory guy at all, but I think Rory plays better at this this event than Tiger does. So I think I'm gonna take Rory this week on that one, that matchup as well. Jack, you want to do that,
Mike? Yeah, I got a take for you fellas. Here it is. I don't think Tiger despises anyone more in the world than Phil Mickelson. And after, you know, Tiger sitting on his couch last weekend seeing Phil take home that W, I don't think there's a chance in hell he doesn't come out firing this week thinking Phil has the spotlight right now. Phil's this old guy getting it done. Tiger comes in, wins this 9 times out of 10. Hey, I would have taken him, but I wanted to give you guys some mortals. But I like Tiger. I like him beating Rory. And maybe you want to sprinkle a little bit on the spread because he could take this thing all the way to the house.
Love it. The golf line. Not the puck line, the golf line.
Yep.
Next matchup, two of the favorites, DJ versus JT. Who you like?
You know what? I'm hammering DJ on this. I think he'll be the favorites. As we're recording this, some of the odd sites are coming out, some aren't. We're playing neutral on that. DJ will be the favorite this week. He's got to be. And I think he hammered the golf line.
Yeah. No, I like that pick as well. JT's spent the past week in the Bahamas at Baker's Bay with his girlfriend. Oh, so I don't really know where his mind's at right now. DJ was probably with Paulina. Yeah, he was with Paulina up at Pebble Beach. Will be there in LA again, but I still like DJ on that one.
But obviously, of all people and all places to find his happy spot, Baker's Bay seems to set him right.
Oh, it does. I mean, but I just don't think he's going to get off to a strong start. He's playing with Tiger the first couple days. He doesn't play great with Tiger, so that's another thing too. So I would hammer DJ on this one.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And what I will start off by saying is, let's be honest with ourselves. This is a toss-up kind of bet. You don't know which way it's going. JT could pop up. DJ could pop up. Let's look at what we have in front of us. Evaluate. JT coming off a vacation. I don't like it. I don't like that. DJ, what? Let me ask you two guys. When you think of LA, what's the atmosphere? What's the nightlife? What is it? It's party central. That's what you go for.
Who thrives in this environment?
Who's failed 2 drug tests on the PGA Tour? DJ, you hammer that. He's going to be partying this weekend. He's got it.
Which is in DJ's favor.
Yes, it is.
He's going to play guilty.
He's
ready to go.
So let me ask you this. Has Tiger not played well here because he can't handle the LA nightlife?
He can't.
Does he like nightlife or does he just like pure SEX? I don't know.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. Have you read Tiger's book or no?
Hanging's?
No, the one that Armin Cateo, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, the one where it's literally called Tiger Woods. Basically, what they do is they talk about Tiger and his scandal, and LA was, you know, big on his radar with the prostitutes. So, and he's never played well there. So I think Tiger does not adapt to that environment like DJ does. They're two different guys in terms of that. Tiger needs his mind on golf to play well.
So you're telling me, on top of being the tournament host, you know, he just saw Phil Mickelson win this week, but at the same time, he's got to deal with all 18, 20, 50, who knows how many ex-girls that he's been with that are in the LA area. You know they're texting him. You know he's responded. Maybe he's even reaching out.
Yeah. No, I mean, and we haven't seen his girlfriend as of late, so who knows where she is. I'm not going to comment on her, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, where Tiger's at for this week.
That's going to be a good one to watch go down. I mean, the thing about Tiger is, and just for the record, I did take him.
Okay.
I did take him over JT. Yeah. That's for the record, and everyone knows that. Or I took him over Rory, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical. He could be leaning both ways. I see him coming out hot this week. His game's in the right shape. He's got the ball flight going right now. He's finally starting to hit it halfway decent with the driver. Yeah. I'm not going to say good. The girlfriend thing doesn't sketch me out because he played his best golf when he had all these girls going after him. I don't mind that part of it. I don't think he's a big partier, so he's not going to be indulging.
Maybe as a tournament host, he won't party as much.
And maybe he takes on some responsibility in that regard, but I still like Tiger. Hammer it. Let's go.
All right. And then I would say, so those were a couple of matchups that have come out. Not all of them have. One of them that, once it does come out, is Bubba versus anyone. I don't know who he'll be matched up against, but like I was talking about earlier, the lefties, I'm going to take Bubba against whoever he matches up with.
So but the odds probably won't be in your favor, considering
he's coming off a win. Is he too old?
Bubba?
Or he won.
No, I was talking Bubba.
I was thinking Phil, lefty.
Yeah. No, but who won last year?
Bubba did win last year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
It could be a good call. It could be a good call.
Look at that. Last year was a lefty, and last week was a lefty. But
yeah.
No, it'll be interesting to see what the odds are, but I'll probably still crush it no matter what.
You're going to crush Bubba either way.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
So,
theoretically, if we get a Bubba, maybe sprinkle a little bit of Cam Champ. Cam Champ's got a +190 over Bubba, something like that. You know, someone of that caliber.
Well, then I'll take the.
You're still gonna be ripping Bubba.
You're gonna take
the golf line.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Loves the shape shots and.
Yeah, one of the best tracks on tour.
It is confirmed it's a course. You got to go out there. You got to visualize it. You shape your shots. Yep. That's what's going on.
Yep. So. Yeah. Should be a good week. Should be fun to watch. Get your stuff at work done Tuesday and Wednesday. Tonight's Monday night, so hopefully you got stuff done today.
Let us know where you're placing those slips in the Caddy Shack. We've been receiving a lot of DMs. We love to see those. Shoot in your winning slips at the end of the week. We'll give you a shout-out. Play well this week, boys.
Yeah, one last thing, too. Any concerns you have with your caddies, DM us, because we do want some questions coming in. That we could add a little segment and answer those questions on our thoughts. So,
I got a question right now. I hate to interrupt you. I've been going back and forth about this for a few weeks now. I got a three wood in the bag. I use it 10% of the time on par fives when I'm going home in two. I just don't use it much. If I'm going home in two, I'm taking a two or I'm taking a three iron, maybe a four iron. I want to know your guys' takes. I've been just debating this, Mac. I consulted about this with you. Do I want to drop this three wood and pick up a little salty, little two hybrid, two iron with a graphite chassis pumping this? What do I want?
Let me give you my take, I already know Mac's take, but my take is, well, let me ask you a question. Do you use it off the tee at all?
No, I absolutely rip my driver.
I'm a big, I guess you really don't want to lay up, but sometimes I get the driver yips, so those don't roll into the three wood, so sometimes I'll be hitting three wood. Mac, what's your take?
Jack, and we could spend the next hour on this conversation, but as defending champ this week, actually, Bubba Watson, if you rewind the clips a little bit back in the 2010 to 2013 range, Bubba Watson used to say that having a three wood in the bag was only for short hitters. Now, you know, that being said, Bubba's had a three wood in the bag for the last like 4 years, and he went back on his word. And so take that as you wish. But my take is, you know, in that par five situation, a lot of the rough, I know you're a big two iron guy, big driving iron guy, and you know, that seemed to take the tour by storm. But, you know, I think that three wood, you got to have it in there to be able to give that go in two. What would you put in there besides the... I mean, a two hybrid just going to fluff it up in the wind.
Here's my thought process. I can hit a driver off the deck 6 times out of 10 when it's going straight.
Okay, so you don't need
that's where I'm at, fellas.
Okay.
So I've been thinking, why do I need this three wood? I don't use it off the tee. I can hit my driver off the deck, you know.
Can you hit a driver off the deck in the rough?
No, sir. Okay. I don't know how uncomfortable I feel about three wood. I don't know about that nonsense.
Because I think it's way harder to hit a two iron out of the juicy rough that you're seeing out on these tour tracks than a three wood that you can just plop down there.
Very true. And
I'm not a three wood out of the rough guy though.
Like, yeah,
if I'm in the rough,
agreed.
Unless if I have an iron in,
agreed.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
I think this is something I'd like to hear our viewers talk about a little bit.
Right. And the other question is, do you have a strong three wood at like 13.5 like Phil Mickelson just won with, obviously hitting some winning shots this week, but or do you go a little softer side and grab the, you know, the Tiger Woods 5 wood, that type of thing?
I don't want to get into the weeds with it. I wanted your guys' takes. I appreciate it. If you're listening to this, tell us what you think.
Tell us what you think. Send questions like this. Could be questions, you know, what's the greatest golf course you've ever played? Any questions, we're happy to answer, and it gives us more content to talk about. So
check out the Who's Your Caddy Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Also, give Jack Cummings a follow on Twitter. This guy he goes on his rampages out there.
Yeah, well, I feel it. And I'm sure to give takes out there. Sorry if they're angry. Sometimes, you know, bookie doesn't go your way. You got to give takes. But thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate
it. Thanks for coming on, breaking out the snowstorm here.
Definitely. Yeah.
Jack, great to have you.
Thanks, guys.
Hit balls for maybe 20 minutes, play a little bit, smoke 4 or 5 cigarettes, drink 3 Diet Cokes, and go to the first tee. Some days I won't even go to the range.
She turned a little money, need a big boy. Pull up 20 inch blades like I'm Lil Troy. Now it's everybody flocking, need a decoy. Shorty mixing up the vodka with the liquor. G-Wagon, 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 all the housewives pulling up. I got a lot of toys. 720S pumping Fallout Boy. You was talking shit in the beginning. Back when I was feeling unforgiving. I know I pissed you off to see me winning. See the hit glue in my mouth and I be grinning. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the army. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. You and your grandma probably know me. Get more bottles, these bottles are lonely. It's a moment when I show up, God, I'm saying wow. Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow. Trunk in the front like a shit Dumbo. Cut the roof off like a nip tuck. Pull up to the house with some big butts. Turn the kitchen counter to a strip club. Me and Dre came for the. When I got guap, all of y'all disappear. Before I drop Sony, none of y'all really care. Now they always say congratulations to the kid. And this is not a 40, but I'm pouring out this shit. You serve a lot, but I got more now. Made another hit, cause I got butt now. Always going for it, never pump. Fourth down, last call, Hail Mary, Prescott, touchdown, eh. Hey.